You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio, where we each and every week keep you informed, keep you engaged, keep you entertained while we talk about the Montreal Canadiens. And boy, we've got a lot to dive into this week. My name is Amy Johnson. I'm going to be your host on today's show. This is episode 382 of the Canadiens Connection podcast, and this week's episode is titled, What's Next for the Canadiens? Interpreting Kent Hughes' message. Because, as I welcome in and say hello to my wonderful co-host, who is our founder and president of Rocket Sports, Rick Stevens. Rick, it was Kent Hughes' big January press conference this week.
Well, it must have been a pleasure to come to the podium and answer questions, media questions this past week for Kent Hughes, because his Montreal Canadiens are, as we go to air, sitting first in the Atlantic Division. Mm-hmm. Big game tonight against the Detroit Red Wings. They're near the top of the Eastern Conference. And Kent Hughes got to talk about what's going well and what he's what's next, I guess, for the Canadiens in the second half and beyond that.
That's right. Before we get to that, though, let's just give you a quick rundown of what to expect on today's show. In our first segment, it's our week in review, where we briefly recap the games that the Canadiens played over the course of the past week, give you any updates on the roster in terms of injuries or transactions or signings, give you an idea of any notable changes to the line combinations. We always take a look at the Habs prospect report, and we've got some great information for you there. Some very fun things happening for some of our prospects for the Montreal Canadiens. And then, of course, we wrap up our week in review segment with hockey notes from around the world of hockey, whether it's the NHL or the Olympics and those types of things. We do have some notable headlines that we wanted to touch on in that segment for this week as well. All of that, of course, leads up to our big topic, which is segment two. And this week's big topic is Kent Hughes' vision for the Canadiens' second half and beyond. And so we are going to take audio clips from Kent Hughes's kind of usually does this right after the holidays, towards the beginning to middle of January, where he kind of does a state of the team press conference and talks about his thoughts on how the first half of the season have gone and looks ahead to where they go from here. And so we're going to bring you some audio clips from that and some statements from that and some of the topics that he discussed at that press conference and break them down for you, analyze what he said a little bit, give you our thoughts on reading between the lines a bit here and there. He had some interesting things to say. So you're going to want to hear this for sure. Finally, in our third segment, that is where we let you have your say. Each week, we're going to give you a Canadians Connection question of the week that we want you to send in your responses to. And of course, in our third segment, we pick out the best replies that we have received from the previous week's question, and we share them with all of you. And so we've got some great responses this week that that we're looking forward to bringing your way. So the way to get a chance to have one of your thoughts or statements or questions read on the air is by sending in your thoughts a couple of different ways. You can do that on the Rocket Sports text line. That's 5853-ROCKET. Again, that's 5853-ROCKET. You can also leave a comment on our YouTube channel, InsideTheCanadians.com. You can leave a comment on Spotify if that is how you choose to listen to the podcast. And we did have some Spotify comments this week. So thank you to anyone who has been dropping comments on that platform. And you can also hit us up on social media. Just tag at Habs Connection on X, on Facebook, or on Instagram. And you'll be right on your way. And be sure you follow at Habs Connection while you're at it. So let's start with the games. There have been four games played by the Montreal Canadiens since our last episode, going all the way back to last Saturday. Remember, they had that 4 o'clock afternoon game in St. Louis. Jacob Fowler getting the start in this game. Jordan Binnington at the other end of the ice. Because of how Jordan Binnington has been playing this season, I decided to bench him on the Rocket Sports Fantasy Hockey team that I have him on. And so naturally that meant that Jordan Binnington got a shutout.
It's all your fault.
On my bench.
And I think part of it too is Jordan Binnington was named to the Canadian Olympic squad, and he showed why there, I suppose. But the Canadiens had come into this game with a seven game point streak, mm-hmm. and just couldn't really. Well, it's not that they couldn't generate opportunities; they couldn't finish opportunities.
No.
They just didn't look ready to start. An odd start time, as you mentioned, and they just didn't seem into this particular game. The Canadiens went 0-for-4 on the power play. They had a 5-on-3 advantage for a minute and a half, more than a minute and a half. Couldn't score. We've heard Nick Suzuki talk about doesn't understand why they have a harder time scoring with a two-man advantage than they do with the single man advantage. Josh Anderson did not play in this game. Owen Beck inserted into the lineup, and Owen Beck has stayed there. We haven't seen Josh Anderson. We'll talk about the injury situation a little bit, but Josh Anderson went out the game before and did not play against the St. Louis Blues.
So that game was the first of a back-to-back. They, as we talked about last week, playing their fifth consecutive Sunday game, this one in Dallas. Sam Montembeault getting the start in net against Dallas. And this time they not only got the extra point, but they got 2 points, Montreal winning 4-3 against the Stars in overtime. Lane Hutson with the big OT game-winning goal.
Yeah, just over a minute, 20 left in overtime, and that was Lane Hutson with that overtime goal. The other goal scorers were Gallagher, Kapanen, and Slavkovsky got a power play goal. Sam Montembeault made the start. Yeah, it was okay. Mm-hmm. The goal he gave up on to Maverick Bourque, wraparound, as we know, his athleticism has been criticized, his ability to go post to post, and he didn't look good on that one. Then there was another goal. Wyatt Johnson got 2 goals for the Dallas Stars. One of them, Mike Matheson. Mike Matheson's having trouble competing with opposition players around the net. And Mike Matheson was right there, did not do anything. But in this case, it was the Canadiens that helped their goaltender and got the 2 points for the win.
Then they had that was the end of their road trip, by the way. They then came back to Montreal, had a couple of days because they didn't play until Wednesday. Last week I said, you know what? They're playing on my birthday on the 7th, on Wednesday the 7th. Let's see if they can't get me a win. And wouldn't you know it? Another four goals. Calgary only putting up one. Won this one 4-1 with Jacob Fowler in the net and looking just beaming, grinning from ear to ear.
Yeah, he had a good time that night.
I think everybody did.
Yeah, it was a pretty complete win for the Canadiens. The Calgary Flames, as everybody knows, are struggling. That was their third straight loss at the Bell Centre. The Bell Centre was just rocking, and everybody was talking about the Bell Centre wave, mm-hmm. where... surprisingly, the Game Center people turned down the music and the fans took over singing, and the Bell Center wave went around, and Jacob Fowler was beaming ear to ear. He really enjoyed that. And after the game, he said, quote, "It was crazy. They had the wave going, just bananas. This place was going crazy. It's like every time I play here, it's like that. It's like a new level it reached each time." So he was having fun. The Canadiens were having fun. Alexander Texier had 3 points in this game and a very complete victory for Montreal.
Yes. Then another back-to-back, because Thursday night they played again, playing Florida, this time on home ice. And I don't know what it is, but we've said this before, Montreal just has the Florida Panthers number. Mm-hmm. I just don't know how they keep doing it, but a whopping 6-2 victory over the Panthers. Granted, Florida is missing a lot of guys out of their lineup.
Yeah, I mean, the Canadiens have injuries too, but not the same level.
No.
Barkov, Tkachuk, Seth Jones out of the Panthers line. It would be, you know, as if the Canadiens were missing Nick Suzuki and Cole Caulfield and Gooley or Hudson or another, and we'll talk about Gooley because there's some injury news there.
Something like 7 of their regulars were out of the lineup or something.
Yeah, it's a long list. But full marks to the Canadiens and to those. It wasn't the Caulfields and Suzuki's that were scoring in this game. It was Dobson, Kapanen, Slavkovsky, and a hat trick for Alexander Texier.
His first career
hat trick, yeah. and good for him.
Yeah.
Sam Montembeau back in the net. Again, it was a situation where the Canadiens were outscoring any issues that they had on defense or in net itself. Sam Bennett seems to have Sam Montembeau's number, and that one, the bad giveaway from Montembeau to Sam Bennett. It reminded me of that goal that Sam Bennett scored in Florida on Montembeau, just from an awful angle.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, Montembeau with a win, and that should help build his confidence.
Definitely. So I don't think it was too difficult for you to compile your three stars for this week, and I'm very pleased to see that you've got Oliver Kapanen at the top of the chart.
Oliver Kapanen has been great.
He's been wonderful,
and I think one of the reasons that helped push him to the top of my star list, the three star list this week, is because he has been underrated, underappreciated, and underreported this season. In the four games this past week, he had 3 goals, 2 assists for 5 points, plus 2. He's playing almost 16 and a half minutes a game. He's got the most shorthanded minutes by forwards on the ice. And his 15 goals, which he has presently, is tops. It's the lead for rookies in the NHL. And who would have predicted that halfway through the season?
Yeah, good for him. Your second star going to Alexander Texier.
Texier had a great week in the four games, 4 goals, 2 assists, 6 points, and playing probably a lot more than he was playing in St. Louis, 15 and a half minutes a game. He's, let's be honest, he is not the ideal line mate for Suzuki and Caulfield. You know, I saw people, I've used the placeholder Rafael Harvey Pinard kind of argument, because Harvey Pinard played with Caulfield and Suzuki for a while and didn't look bad, but not really an ideal placement. I've used that example before, and I saw that being repeated on online this week. So, you know, good for him to cash in while it lasts. He's got some skill. As I said, not ideally the first line complement to that line, but he's having a good time, enjoying himself and being productive.
And your third star, Juraj Slafkovský, has been almost a weekly appearance on this list.
Yeah, for the past 3 weeks, he's been there again this week. 2 goals, 3 assists, 5 points, playing 19 minutes a game. On that road trip, which the Canadians, that 7-game road trip over the holidays, he had 11 points. So he's been great.
And in fact, his, you know, you've got 2 of the 3 of that line in your 3 starts. You've got Kapanen and Slafkovský, from the Kapanen, Demidov, Slafkovský line. And that line is certainly causing people to sit up and take notice.
Marty St. Louis, about his second line, said, quote, "They're giving us some good hockey, not just offensively, but defensively they're working. They're organized, they're connected, they're taking charge. It's been fun to watch," end quote.
I got to agree with him. They have been fun to watch. Mm-hmm. They always seem to make something happen every time they're on the ice. I think that's been tremendously fun to watch. Honorable mention. You have an honorable mention this week. I couldn't let the week go by without talking about Lane Hutson.
Lane Hutson, 4 points this past week. What's most interesting is he's playing 26 minutes a game. That's most of any player on the Canadiens.
And there seems, just like Juraj Slafkovský has been frequently showing up on your 3-star list, one of the 2 guys that you have on your struggle list this week seems to be making almost a weekly appearance there.
Mike Matheson's having trouble in front of the net, competing, making the right decisions, whether it be 5-on-5 or on the penalty kill. He's there. He's in the vicinity, and he seems to be doing a lot of watching as goals go into the back of his own net. Zach Bolduc has had really a roller coaster of a season. He's been up, he's been down. I think this past week has been down. No points this past week, and you know, some of the analysts are saying maybe his worst game of the season on Thursday night.
So, through 44 games played, the Canadiens have a 25-13-6 record, 56 points on the season. They are, as Rick said, first in the Atlantic Division, 5th overall in the NHL. Can you believe that? They have skyrocketed in the last month in their playoff odds. Money Puck has them where now, Rick?
80.6%. So, we remember around Christmas time, it was just hovering around the coin flip, 50%. And yeah, as you said, they've taken a big jump and up to 80%. So that's good news for Canadiens fans, that as long as they continue on the same trajectory, we're going to see the playoffs in April in Montreal.
Well, let's keep the fingers crossed. Let's turn to roster news now. First, we want to mention that there was a player sent down to Laval late this week. On Thursday, the Canadiens loaned defenseman Adam Engstrom back to the Rocket.
Yeah, Engstrom was in 9 games. He's been up with the Canadiens since the first week of December. And he was very, very good, and certainly had leaped ahead of other players in the lineup. Just a numbers game. It didn't have anything to do with his play. Just the fact that he is waiver exempt, that he was sent back, and it was pretty clear that with Adam Engstrom going back to Laval, that a defenseman would be expected to be back in the lineup from injury and playing, and we have news about that as well.
That's right. Before we get there, though, had some information about some different skates and so forth this week. We saw an array of injured players come out and skate, whether it was practices or whether it was morning skates. You know, we've seen Patrick Laine this week. We've seen Caden Gooley this week. We've seen a little bit of Kirby Dach and a little bit of Jake Evans this week, all for different lengths of time, all different intensities, and all in different garb, shall we say.
Yeah, it was Patrick Laine has been skating a lot. And we remember just before the holidays, he was just in flip-flops on the ice. Well, now he's been skating frequently and was out for 45 minutes this week. So he seems to be on track. And when Hughes was asked about him specifically, said, you know, he would be expected back after the Olympics. With the others, Kirby Dach is a little bit harder to get a sense of, cause he's been on the ice, he's been skating. He's been, even at game day skates. Now Kirby Dach is wearing a no contact jersey, but it's what he's wearing off the ice that, has got some people concerned. And that is, a walking boot, a therapeutic boot. That he's been seen with on his right foot, making people wonder if there's been a setback or if he's going to be out a little bit longer than had been planned. Jake Evans has been skating. He's been skating in sweats this week. He's been skating in jerseys. He's been skating in a no-contact jersey. Most recently, on the Sunday morning skate, he was wearing a regular jersey. So that's also good news. We haven't seen too much of Andy, Josh Anderson, just day to day is what we're told about Josh Anderson. And that brings us to Caden Gooley. And Caden Gooley is going to be in the lineup for a Saturday night's game against the Detroit Red Wings. He's the one that he's been out since October, and will finally make his reintroduction to the Canadiens line, and well needed. His physicality has been missing for the last several months.
Absolutely.
Caden Gooley will also have a new look of sorts.
I got a little happy with the shears, apparently. Maybe he was a little bored. Maybe he just wants to fresh start.
Change the look.
Yeah, exactly. Get rid of the old do.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Basically,
yeah, the look for his
almost
new,
shaved his head.
Yeah. The look online for his new haircut.
Yes. Good luck to him, though. It'll be great to have him back in the lineup. So the latest lines that we see, anything very different other than, yeah, Gooley's getting back in the lineup?
Yeah, there are no changes to the lineup in general from what we've seen this past week, other than the defensive pairs, and that was in the Saturday game day skate, that Gooley was on the left side, paired up with Arber Xhekaj, and that made up the Canadiens' third pairing. Struble was the extra in that lineup.
All right. And it is Jacob Fowler who is starting in goal on Saturday night, correct?
That's correct.
All right. Now let's turn our attention to the younger players in the Canadiens organization. Let's dive into the Habs Prospect Report.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
This might not come as a surprise to you, but we are briefly going to talk this week about Medicine Hat Tigers captain, defenseman, Bryce Pickford. Yes. He forces our hand that we have to talk about him every week.
Well, because on Friday night, he recorded a hat trick, and that happens to be his second hat trick of the season. Remember, this player is a defenseman. He added two assists to his three goals for a five-point game against the Seattle Thunderbirds. So if we look at his totals for this season, he's played 37 games. He has 31 goals, 27 assists for 58 points. As I said, in just 37 games, he's also a plus 44. He's on track now. I don't want to jinx him, but he's on track for more than 50 goals, more than 100 points this season in the WHL.
He's a defenseman.
And that would be incredible.
Don't forget, he signed his 3-year ELC just before Christmas.
Yeah.
I hope this kid translates to pro hockey really well, because he's going to be fun. Just briefly, because it's kind of already starting to fade a little bit, but just to wrap up our World Junior Hockey Championship coverage, gold medal going to Team Sweden. I believe just the third time, I think, that they've won gold. Congratulations to them. Czechia taking a hard-fought silver, and Canada still managed to walk away with a medal. Getting the bronze, Team USA out in the quarterfinals and did not get a chance to get to the medal rounds.
So Canada salvaging something, still a disappointing showing for Canada, and the first time they've gone three seasons, I believe, or three tournaments with out earning the gold. They brought a very different team this time, and they sure packed a punch as far as goal scoring. They had no problem scoring goals, but that Czechia rivalry that continues to grow, that two wild games against Czechia, both in the round robin and in the medal round. So that means, of course, that Michael Hage got a bronze medal for Canada. He also topped the tournament in points with 15 points, mostly assists, 13 assists in seven games. He was a plus seven, one game winner. The Canadiens fans this week were talking about the Hage snub in that the top three players chosen by the management of Hockey Canada were T.J. Ginla, Zane Parekh, and Sam O'Reilly. Michael Hage left off that list. Hage was named to the World Junior All-Star team, but lots of speculation about why that might have been, why he was left off that list.
I call it a snub because he was a pivotal player for Canada. And I mean, how can you ignore the fact that his 15 points were the most in the tournament?
And some are saying it's because he chose to play in the NCAA. And we don't know the reason, but doesn't take anything away, and not to take anything away from, again, Parekh and O'Reilly, and Parekh had his own issues to deal with, although he was right in what he said, but then had to apologize.
Yeah, let's just
for
say
it.
Parekh's point was proven for him multitudes of times this week.
Yes.
Congratulations on that, folks.
So anyway, a very good tournament for Michael Hage, despite multiple posts and the missed breakaways and penalty shots.
Oh yeah,
it was a very good tournament, and no doubt he impressed the Habs brass.
Definitely. One of the other prospects that the Canadians were represented by who saw just a little bit of ice time, but was certainly proud to be there, was Latvian goaltender Mikus Vatsvenāks. We actually have some news related to his regular play. He was playing in Newfoundland in the QMJHL for the Newfoundland Regiment. He was released by the regiment this week.
Yeah, he wasn't getting a lot of gameplay anyway. He has for Newfoundland, he had a 2-2-1 record so far this season. They brought in someone else, and he got bumped down to the fourth tier, I guess. Mm-hmm. And the regiment decided to release him. We know that between now, we don't know what's going to happen to him between now and the end of the season, if he'll find another team. We do know that he's committed next season. He's going to be playing in the NCAA with the University of Maine.
Excellent. Speaking of Canadian goaltending prospects playing in the queue and moving around, Arseny Radkov was traded from the Blainville-Boisbriand Armada to the St. John Sea Dogs this week.
Yeah, kind of odd in the queue this over the last couple of weeks that there's been musical chairs with respect to goaltenders. St. John needed a goaltender, and they went out and traded for Radkov. He's had a good season so far, 12-7-3 with the Armada. He's already played a game with his new team, the Sea Dogs. He had 36 saves on Thursday night. Team won 5-1, and so he has a 1-0-0 record with the Sea Dogs so far.
And he'll be...
He'll be committed next year. Yeah,
he'll be committed to the University of Massachusetts in the NCAA for next year as well. So Vatsvenāks and Radkov will both be playing in the Northeast next year. For Laval, before we get to how their games went this week, due in part to their win on Friday night, that solidified their spot at the top of the North Division, and that happened within the cutoff time for Pascal Vincent to be named coach for the North Division All-Stars at the upcoming AHL All-Star Classic being held in February in Rockford. And that's always a great honor. Rick, the coaches of the league's top teams in each division are the ones who get the honor of going and coaching at the All-Star Classic. And great to see Pascal getting it this year.
Nice little stick tap for him. Of course, the coach of the year last year in the AHL, but this is in recognition for the season that Laval is having so far.
They have continued... they got back to their winning ways on Friday night, beating Rochester 3-2 with Kaapo Kähkönen in net. Before that, they actually dropped a game last Saturday to Utica 4-3. Mark Delgaiso with two goals in that game. But they have managed to turn things around this week, got that win, secured that top spot in the North Division. They are just fifth overall in the AHL. Are they still mirroring the Canadians?
Well, it's
with their record.
It's interesting.
Yeah, fifth in the NHL, first in the Atlantic, and first in the North, fifth in the AHL.
Yeah, and you know, they've gone through some struggles as well, some injuries, but the suspensions that they had to deal with had an effect on their lineup. The fact that their goaltender is up with the Canadians. And that was a great 47 saves for Kaapo Kähkönen on Friday night. And Hunter Jones as well is up from Trois-Rivières, so they're doing just fine.
They've got three games coming up on tap this week. They play in Syracuse on Saturday night at 5. Then they come home for two games against Belleville and Manitoba on Wednesday and Friday. Both of those are 7 p.m. starts. And they are continuing to have a great season. Speaking of Trois-Rivières, however, they are struggling a little bit. They have lost four straight games. That has dropped them to fourth in the North Division and 19th overall in the ECHL through their 28 games played. So fingers crossed that they can get things stabilized down there in the ECHL. Let's quickly, before we take our first break here, give you some general hockey notes. And we can't start this segment off without talking about the Olympics and the ice and the arena that is under constant scrutiny in Milan. Well, they had their first two test games on the arena ice in Milan over the last 24 hours or so. And well, it depends on who you talk to know how that went, I suppose you could say.
Yeah, I think that there's been some things put out there saying that it's still a work in progress and focusing on all the things that haven't been done. There might have been some pushback from the Olympic folks. There might have been some pushback from the NHL itself trying to smooth this over and put a brave face on what's happening there. The two test games, there was problems with the ice. As you look around the arena, there's whole sections of seating that haven't been installed and won't be installed. Mm-hmm. They've dropped the capacity from over 14,000 to just 11,000. They've just finished off the locker rooms in the arena itself. The locker rooms are not ready. They're kind of empty in the practice facility. Talked about the ice. There was a hole in the ice that caused a bit of a delay on Friday night. But you know, as I say, they're trying to put a brave face and try to smooth over any of the issues and say they will be ready.
Well, the funny thing about that is, yes, there was a delay in Friday night's game because yes, there was a hole that opened up in the ice. Chris Johnston had a tweet today from Don Moffitt. This is a statement from Don Moffitt, who is the ice master at the Milan Olympic Arenas. Basically, the statement from Don Moffitt is saying, quote, "After these two competition days, we're very happy and satisfied with the field of play." He goes on to talk about how, you know, a hockey rink is got to be managed with competency and it's constantly taken care of, and new ice that hasn't been skated on yet, it's very normal that it can get cracks, that the resurfacer can cause cracks. And okay, yes, sometimes holes can happen on the first time you skate, but this was only a 2-centimeter hole. We fixed it right away. And he ends his quote by saying, "We're very satisfied because these are minor details and in line with the usual process."
That's a field, all right.
Yeah.
The issue here is, and we should say that the NHL sent their ice makers sent their personnel about a month ago to Milan to supervise, to not only supervise but to guide the ice making. But you know, if all of this is normal because it's the first time people skate on it and it's the first time that Zambonis drive on it and all this kind of stuff, you have to be reminded that it's the reason where these test games, these test tournaments usually take place one year before
the Olympics,
not a month,
not a month,
not a few weeks. And that's why that it does take time. This is all very, very late. The other thing I'll mention is that the players that were interviewed were very impressed. And they were talking about, this is the biggest arena I've ever played in. Because these are guys from the Italian league, not the top tier, their second division group. And they've been used to playing in arenas that are 900 people, 1,000 people, capacity. And so this is pretty good for them. And maybe the ice is very good
given for them,
what they're used to. They're not used to the kind of ice that NHLers will be used to. And they're not putting the same demands on the ice that NHLers will be putting on that ice. And it's a real concern, especially if holes start opening up, if cracks start opening up. Owners and GMs don't want to see their players that are sent to the Olympics, and fans don't either, being injured in an event like this.
And you don't want to see a situation where, God forbid, somebody gets injured because of it, and we're back to the NHL not allowing its players to participate in the Olympics in the future. We don't want to see a return to that. So let's hope they can get this mess figured out. Speaking of the Olympics, according to Pierre LeBrun, there is a trade freeze coming during the Olympic break. It goes into effect at 3 p.m. Eastern time on February 4th, and that stays in place through midnight February 22nd, so about a 3-week trade freeze.
So Pierre, in his commentary, was trying to judge where the trades are going to come, whether they're going to come before the Olympic trade freeze or after, ahead of the NHL trade deadline, which of course is on March 6th. In recent years, GMs in some cases have wanted to make the trades if they can do the cap gymnastics, want to make the trades earlier so that they can integrate that new player into their lineup. But Pierre LeBrun says that there is some concern that there may be some changes to those players available and to their own lineups throughout the Olympics. And he's talking about the potential of injured players. So that he says that unless they need to fill holes right now, he expects that most GMs are going to wait until after the Olympics to make those big trades, the significant trades. And that's just going to be that's going to create kind of a frantic trade activity window, because that's only about 12 days between the end of that Olympic trade freeze and the trade deadline itself. Pierre's also mentioned that the Canadians have on their list of wants Calgary Flames forward Blake Coleman, and that shouldn't be a surprise. We've heard that name before. Lots of things, lots of teams would be interested in acquiring Blake Coleman. For the Canadians, there's going to have to be some cap issues worked out, because Danault added a significant chunk to their payroll. And it's also going to depend on who is going to be ready to come back and how those players who are healthy again are going to affect the Canadiens cap. And for the other side, what Calgary's asking, Blake Coleman's willingness to waive his tradability to come to Montreal and all of that. But that's for those of you who are keeping score. Blake Coleman is on said to be on the Canadiens list.
And maybe the people who might be pleased to hear that it might be a little bit of a frenetic time frame between the end of the Olympics and the trade deadline will be James Duthie and the Trade Center guys. Because maybe trade deadline day might have a little more activity.
Maybe.
We'll see. Finally, to wrap up this segment, we must tip our hats and stick taps to Glenn Hall, Hall of Fame goaltender Glenn Hall, who sadly passed on Wednesday at the age of 94 years old.
He was nicknamed Mr. Goalie, so you can understand that he not only excelled at what he did as a Hall of Fame goaltender. He revolutionized the game in some respects. He's often said that he was the pioneer of the butterfly style of goaltending. He set a consecutive game mark that it's just not going to be ever broken. Played 502 consecutive NHL games. 502 consecutive NHL games. And that's, you know, didn't need a backup, didn't need a mask at the time, and played 906 games in his illustrious career. Should also note a Canadian's connection, and that's what we like to do here, that he was picked up in the expansion draft by the St. Louis Blues, and he took the St. Louis Blues to the Stanley Cup final in their first year. The 1968 Stanley Cup final featured the St. Louis Blues versus the Montreal Canadiens. Montreal swept that final for their Stanley Cup, but even in a losing effort, Hall was named the Conn Smythe Trophy winner for his play. The following year, just another note, the tandem for the St. Louis Blues included Glenn Hall. He won the Vezina Trophy that year, and he was just partnered up with another Hall of Fame goaltender, Jacques Plante.
Wow. That's quite a duo. Our thoughts and condolences go to the family and friends of Glenn Hall. We are very sorry for your loss. All right, we are going to take a quick break here on the Canadians Connection podcast. Coming back on the other side, Kent Hughes' vision for the Canadians' second half and beyond. Lots to dive into regarding the GM's press conference from this week. So stay with us. You're listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Every yard, every sack, every interception, and every touchdown. With Pick 6, DraftKings' newest game, every snap can turn into a big-time payout. This isn't just watching the game. This is playing to win. Here's how it works. You pick more or less on two or more player stats. And the better your picks, the bigger your payout. It's that simple. And here's the kickoff bonus. New DraftKings customers get $50 in Pick 6 credits with just a $5 entry on your first pick set. You know the game. Now make it pay. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN. Play just $5 and get $50 in Pick 6 credits. Make the call. Ride the upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18+. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 credits that expire in 14 days. Terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. Limited time offer.
And welcome back to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, my name is Amy Johnson. I welcome you. If you are on X, you can follow me over there. My handle is at Flyers Rule. Also, be sure while you're there on X to be following at Rocket Sports. That's Rick Stevens' account. It's our main account here for the team. You get all of your best information right from that account at Rocket Sports. And don't forget, if you haven't done so already, hit subscribe. Subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast platform, however you're currently listening to the show. And also be sure you are subscribed to our YouTube channel. That is over at InsideTheCanadians.com. All right. So in this episode, you know, we're digging into what Canadians GM Kent Hughes had to say this week at his press conference. And really, more importantly, what it tells us about where this team really is right now, and where it's going in the not-so-distant future. So we want to break down his comments that he made about the rebuild, comments he made on the progress that we're seeing on the ice. And in particular, he even talks about specific names like Lane Hutson, Michael Hage, Kirby Doc. Doubtless, we're going to tackle the elephant in the room, which is the current three goaltender situation and what all of that means for the rest of the season. So as we go through this, you're going to see that some of his answers maybe bring a little clarity to questions that have been kind of bubbling up through the first half of the season. Some of his answers raise new questions. And so trying to kind of interpret all of that, read between the lines, and just react to what he had to say is exactly where we're going to start today's big topic. And Rick, I guess kind of the natural place to go first would be Kent Hughes talking about the reasons why he is impressed with his team so far this season. We've talked about how successful they've been, where they are currently sitting in the standings, this great run that they've been on. So is Kent Hughes impressed with his club so far this season?
Impression, resilience, just the resilience, confidence. And I saw the article you wrote the other day and the professor from Cornell talking about how you build culture and that kind of thing. And I think that is what we have going on here, is that you have a group of guys that are playing for each other. You see it every day. They're excited. In the world of professional sports, we're in a team sport, but there always is the risk of individualism coming in because it's a career, and the success of one may cost you ice time and ultimately your ability to earn over your career. So there's a delicate balance, I find, in pro team sports, and right now that's probably the most impressive thing I see from our group.
So it's a group of young players, mostly, primarily, who are growing together, who are enjoying playing with each other, spending time with each other, and working towards something, improving each year. And I think that was partly by design. As Kent Hughes said, that's the way you build culture. That allows you to go through some difficult times and still be, you talked about resilience, maintaining confidence. And those are the things that have stood out to him so far this season.
So the flip side of that has to be, are there things that he is still concerned about?
What concerns me the most? Figuring out how to put it all together, but it's more from kind of a management perspective, right? We get excited to see young talent coming in, but ultimately we have to build a hockey team. And it's not so much a concern as it is okay, how are we going to do this? Before it was easy, right? It was a very obvious path, and I think as you, hopefully we get to the other end of it and the path becomes obvious again, because we'll be on the other side of it in the interim. Yeah, it's a delicate balance, and there's a lot of considerations, because if you go make a move to bring something in, you know, over what time period, and what does that do in terms of other players that deserve an opportunity or may come and be prove that they belong, because you can't just make contracts disappear.
Can't just make contracts disappear. I thought that was was really interesting. And he recognizes that, they got a lot of praise. They made some really good decisions with respect to adding assets, to getting rid of some assets and turning them into something more valuable. They drafted well. But as Kent Hughes said, that was the easy part. Some of those decisions were pretty obvious, because we were we were just going to the grocery store and throwing everything in the cart that we were going to need without, you know, much regard to how we were going to put them into a meal once we get home. Mm-hmm. And now comes the harder part, because now he has to think about using those pieces, both the newly acquired pieces and the ones who, you know, are the contracts that are still on the books, to not only use them to win now, but to build into that contender that they want for the future. And it is a balance. It's more difficult to put the puzzle together than to just gather the pieces. And the additions that you make now are far more consequential because you might be adding somebody who's going to block the path of your younger players. Or the flip side of that is those players that you have high expectations of may not turn into the player you need them to be by the time you need them. Mm-hmm. So it's all that balancing the youth with winning now and but still not jeopardizing your overall blueprint.
That's right. We just talked in the previous segment about what a phenomenal tournament at the World Juniors that Michael Hage had. We have spoken repeatedly on the show through his freshman and now half of his sophomore campaign with Michigan about how just lights out he has been in NCAA play. We've been saying, when is he coming? That was a natural question that was posed to Kent Hughes at his presser this week. You know, are there plans to get Michael Hage playing in the NHL as soon as possible?
And he said, and this translated quote, we'll discuss the situation when his season is over. It will be up to him to determine if he's ready, that's ready to make the jump, or if he prefers to continue his studies and feels that he needs another one more season at the college level. Hughes went on to say, we don't want to be a distraction. We prefer that he remains in the present moment. I can't imagine that Michael Hage wouldn't want to make that jump to the pros, but mm-hmm. It's not something they want him thinking about now while he still has a season to complete.
Definitely. So Michael Hage is one of those that, you know, everybody's kind of stomping their feet a bit. You mentioned when we talked about Oliver Kapanen earlier in today's show that he's been, you know, maybe undervalued, underappreciated, underreported, and has been a very pleasant surprise for people of how successful he has been. So Kent Hughes was asked about Oliver Kapanen and how he sees him now fitting into the plan.
It was really fascinating in how emphatic Kent Hughes was. Because, again, for the first half of the season, there's been no shortage of fans proposing trades to bring in a second-line center to replace Oliver Kapanen, to trade out Oliver Kapanen. And all he's done amidst all of that doubt has been to perform. And he has been not just a placeholder for the second line center, but now people are starting to see him as the future mm-hmm. second line center on this team. And when asked if Kapanen could be a long term solution to centering the second line, Hughes said yes, without a doubt. He was very clear how he felt, how the organization felt about the future of Oliver Kapanen.
As he should be.
Mm-hmm.
Oliver Kapanen has been amazing this season. He is proving that he deserves a place, and I can't wait to see how he continues to grow.
And it isn't just, he isn't relying on Demidov or,
no.
He's making Demidov better and Demidov's making him better. The same goes for Slavkovsky. Those three have really gelled, and are feeding off each other. They've been a very effective second line. We talked about the quote that Marty made of that line this week.
Mm-hmm, definitely. So, of course, as I said in the setup here, the elephant in the room is once again the Canadians find themselves back in the beastly three goaltender rotation, and now they've backed themselves into a bit of a corner. What do they do now?
They've been through this. They made a mistake last time, and I hope it sounds like at least the messages that they're throwing out said that they've learned from their mistake. And Hughes says his quote was, "Three goalkeepers aren't ideal, but don't expect any changes in the next 24 hours." I don't know why he limited it to just 24 hours.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Why it wasn't a week or a month or whatever. But you know, that was pretty easy to achieve. No changes in 24 hours, and of course there weren't. He went on to say, "All three of them will see action, but in the long term, we won't have three goaltenders." And part of that is, you know, within a few weeks, it's going to be the Olympic break.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with a young goaltender like Jacob Fowler, wouldn't you want him to be playing games during that Olympic break?
Yeah.
Or if Jakub Dobish, as he's been kind of set on the sidelines a little bit, he's been skipped in the rotation twice now when his natural turn would come up. Would he be sent to Laval and be given some action? I don't know, but it seems that Kent Hughes is kind of buying time here. It's a delicate balance because, you know, what's going to happen with Montembeau? Is Jacob Fowler going to continue to put up brilliant performances? And can we just get to the Olympic break before we have to make a decision?
Yeah. Well, speaking of Jacob Fowler, Kent Hughes admitted that, because of the situation that Sam Montembeau put them in, where he basically forced their hand that they had to call Jacob Fowler up to try something different, because Sam Montembeau just wasn't performing. But then Jacob Fowler came in and kind of impressed a lot of people. And Hughes talked about that and the effect that that's had as well.
About Jacob Fowler, Hughes said, "Back in the summer, the plan was for Fowler to play most of the season in the AHL. In terms of this tough market, we'll be prudent to try and protect a young goaltender like Fowler, youngest in the league." I added that. "But at the same time, he has a certain side mentally with his approach where he doesn't seem like a young player." It's true. "He's very mature. He bounces back. You can see that he's strong mentally, which will only help him in the future."
All right. Don't know what that tells us about what their plans are, but we do know that Jacob Fowler is starting against Detroit on Saturday night. And as you say, Jakub Dobish has not had a start in a little while now.
And
I'm hoping that changes. I'm hoping he's getting a start soon.
And not only that, we've seen Jakub Dobish be the backup for a couple games straight. And that's not always easy sitting on the bench, whereas the others have got to rotate up into the press box.
Mm-hmm.
We saw Sam Montembeau even take a game day skate off. Hughes will say the kinds of things that, who's ever playing best and whatnot. But it seems that the Canadians are putting their finger on the scale in a quite strong way. It seems that they've chosen that Jacob Fowler is going to be their NHL goaltender as long as he continues this play, and that they'd really like to see Sam Montembeau stay with the team. So it seems like that's the tandem that they would like to use for the rest of the season, and they're engineering the starts and the assignments to make sure that happens.
We'll see how that all pans out. I will not be a fan if that's the case. I would feel for Jakub Dobish if that ends up being the case. We'll see how it all shakes out. In terms of going back to Kent Hughes and his press conference, one of the other things that was posed to him are, okay, so there's the things you've been impressed with. There's the things you're still concerned about. So what are the other things that this team needs that you can see right now?
And his answer was pretty simple. He said lots. Lots.
Great.
We need a lot. And then he talked about skill. He talked about physicality. He talked about a number of things, but lots. He said quite simply that the Canadians are not ready. They're not in a position to compete with the Colorado Avalanche. They're not at that level. The quote was, in the short term, I don't think we have the perfect team to compete with the Colorado Avalanche. You know, he talked about needing playoff experience, and I think some interpreted that as, okay, let's go out and get which veteran has this playoff experience and which veteran. That isn't what he's talking about. He isn't talking about adding veterans with playoff experience. He's talking about his young lineup and giving them opportunities for more playoff so that they can experience have additional playoff experience. That's what he's talking about. And that just one of the things that is needed when he said we still need a lot.
So in terms of, you know, the things that are good, the things that still have some concerns, the things that they need, the guys who are impressing, situations that they have to rectify, where does Kent Hughes feel they are at in terms of the progress that they've made in the midst of this rebuild that they're in?
I've said to you a lot, I don't have this. We didn't come in with this blueprint. We've tried to. We have a plan, but the blueprint isn't going to go from A to B to C to D all the way through the alphabet in terms of one step at a time, because I think you have to retain some flexibility. We're probably ahead of schedule. If you're asking me, like, when we came in year one or year two, did we think the team would be as competitive as it is? Probably not. We have talent coming. You know, how it's really hard to know. Like, I watch a lot of Lane Hutson. I already played with my son, and I watch him all the way up. I didn't know when we signed him out of college he was, I'd like to say I knew, but I didn't know he was going to be that good that fast. So, you know, along the way, you're asking me how far, like, we have talented players. I don't know how fast they hit the ground running, but I know they're talented and are going to be a big part of our group in the future.
So some took this as just, you know, compliment to Lane Hutson. What he was trying to give an example here. He said that there's more talent on the way, and you know, fill in your own name there: Michael Hage, Zarofsky, Reinbacher, whoever you want to put there. And he's saying, I don't know. It could even be Demidov. How quickly are they going to reach their potential? How quickly are they going to reach their ceiling? And do we even know what their ceiling is? Because he said, look, I watched Lane Hutson. And because I was watching my son, I saw a whole lot of Lane Hutson. I knew it was going to be good, but I didn't know he was going to be that good that fast. So with all of these players that I've seen less than I've seen Lane Hutson, how can I predict how quickly they're going to adapt to the pro game, how quickly they're going to adapt to the NHL game, North American game? how quickly that they are going to meld with the group and reach their potential. And I don't even know what their potential is in the first place. So I thought that was, and then making sure that they keep that flexibility to react depending on how this future talent works out.
Well, it's, you know, how many years has it been since there's been a predominantly positive kind of after the holidays assessment by the GM for the Canadians? Overall, it's a pretty optimistic feeling coming out of this press conference.
Very optimistic. And I think fans are very optimistic too. But you want to hear what Hughes said, that it's going to get tougher. They aren't there yet. They aren't anywhere close yet. But you should revel in the success that we have, and they need to keep, the management needs to keep working. And these next few weeks until the Olympic break, with these players coming back from injury, and Kent Hughes was asked about what's going to happen when all these players come back, and he said, I don't know, but it's a good problem to have if we have to juggle some cap room and that sort of thing. And he also said this season, just when somebody comes back, somebody else goes out. So he wasn't going to try to predict anything. But these next few weeks are going to be critical for the Montreal Canadiens this season, and maybe going into the trade line for the Montreal Canadiens of the future. So this was a very different press conference in looking ahead to the second half of this NHL season, and then, but they clearly, both he and Jeff Gorton, have their eye on the future of this club.
So our question for you this week is, based off of Kent Hughes' comments, who do you think could be a possible trade target that would fit the GM's vision? We talked in the first segment how, you know, okay, Pierre LeBrun says that Blake Coleman is on the radar. That's fine. But based off of what Kent Hughes had to say this week, who do you think is a player who could be a possible trade target that would fit the GM's vision that he kind of reemphasized, reinforced, outlined again in this press conference?
And I guess we want also to hear if your vision, maybe your trade target, have changed over the year. Mm-hmm. You know, did you start out thinking that the Canadians needed to add a second line center, and now Oliver Kapanen has made you think twice about that? Do you think the Canadians need more physicality on the bottom of the lineup? Do they need a skilled winger to play with Caulfield and Suzuki? What do you think they need, and have your how have your thoughts changed over the course of this season?
Definitely. Send us a text on the Rocket Sports text line with your answer. That is 5853-ROCKET. Again, 5853-ROCKET. Drop us a comment on Spotify or on YouTube, or you could reply or DM us on social media. That is at Habs Connection on X, on Facebook, or on Instagram. Can't wait to hear what you have to say. And remember, we're taking the best responses and reading them on next week's show. All right, we are going to take our second break here on the Canadians Connection podcast. When we come back, we've got some great replies to last week's Canadians Connection question of the week. Not going to want to miss them. Maybe one of them is yours. Stay with us. You're listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Every yard, every sack, every interception, and every touchdown. With Pick 6, DraftKings' newest game, every snap can turn into a big-time payout. This isn't just watching the game. This is playing to win. Here's how it works. You pick more or less on two or more player stats. And the better your picks, the bigger your payout. It's that simple. And here's the kickoff bonus. New DraftKings customers get $50 in Pick 6 credits with just a $5 entry on your first pick set. You know the game. Now make it pay.
Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN. Play just $5 and get $50 in Pick 6 credits. Make the call. Ride the upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 credits that expire in 14 days. Terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. Limited time offer. And welcome back to episode 382 of the Canadians Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't done so already. If you like what you're hearing, share it with your social media friends and followers. Just hit that share button no matter how you are currently consuming the podcast. If you're on a platform where you can leave a like or a review or a bunch of stars, please go ahead and do that. You don't know how much that actually helps us. It may seem like a little thing to you, but hit like, leave us a 5-star review, leave us some feedback. If you're on a platform that allows you to do that, we very much appreciate that. And we always appreciate hearing from you. It's why we do the Canadians Connection question of the week every week, just to give you kind of food for thought to inspire you to want to reach out to us. But you can reach out anytime on that Rocket Sports text line, 5853 Rocket. If you have a question, if you have just an opinion about something that the Habs are doing, if you have something you want to say about the Habs, if you have a reply to something that we've said on a show, or if you have a reply to something that you hear us read from another listener or viewer's comments, reach out to us. We love to hear from you. So get it started, if you haven't done so already, by answering this week's Canadians Connection question of the week. Based on Kent Hughes' comments this week in his press conference, which player do you think could be a possible trade target that would fit Hughes' vision? And Rick added kind of a part B for that question, which is, you know, based on how things have gone for the first half of the season, you know, maybe you had some trade targets around the deadline in mind already. But have your thoughts on who you'd like to see them trade for by the trade deadline changed at all due to a number of reasons? So let us know, 5853-ROCKET. Leave us a comment on YouTube or on Spotify, or hit us up on social media. Now, last week we asked you, which part of the Canadiens game are you feeling the best about at midseason? And which areas are you most concerned about going into the second half of the season? We had some comments on YouTube. At P. Moran Fidel said, "I feel confident in Montreal's power play and offensive strength. The young guns are making great strides to keep the team afloat. I am concerned still with our coaching, especially on penalty kills and goaltending, as well as the strength of the Habs during the shootouts. Thankfully, this will not be an issue when they get into the playoffs, but would help them solidify a playoff spot if they can pick up the extra points." Very good points made.
Thank you for that comment.
Yeah, it's a great one.
The next one, you mentioned we received some comments on Spotify, and thank you for that. Mm-hmm. And if that's where you watch us, please feel free to leave a comment there.
The
comments on our episode last week, our mid-season evaluation, our mid-season report card, as it was. Basically, the comments were, "More A pluses, please." And that's fine. We expect that from fans, that they're enjoying this season from the Canadians. They think every one of the players deserves an A plus. Our evaluation was maybe a little bit more objective.
Critiquing, yeah.
Yeah. But let me continue with YouTube. And this one comes from our dear friend at Center High 7948. He says, great show again from the dynamic duo, Amy and Rick Stevens. First, happy belated 19th birthday to you, Amy. You're awesome.
Don't I wish. Oh, if I only knew now what I knew when I was 19. My goodness. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Not 19, but okay, we'll go with it.
We'll go
sure.
with it.
Thanks very much. I appreciate the belated birthday.
And he says, now on to answer this week's question. I'm going to approach it very differently. I'm going to commend the growth of the kids on the team. It's a great culture being built. There's no quit, even when they get behind. Great credit must be given there. Now for what's worst for me is the defense and the way the goalies have been coached. I think it's very clear we need upgrades in those departments and experience. Which I mentioned a couple of episodes ago. Keep the great shows coming. I hope you both have a great new year with many blessings personally and professionally.
Wow.
Really nice.
Thank you very much.
And this, we wish you the same. And thank you. Keep the comments coming from Center Ice 7948.
Absolutely. And, you know, maybe you're someone who either short on words or short on time, but you still want to send in a comment. We take short and sweet comments as well. And we love this one from, it could either be Roger Bouchard or Roger Bouchard, 8019, who simply says, I like your channel. Well, thank you very much.
I like your comment.
We like your comment. We like you. And we're glad that you're enjoying the channel here at Rocket Sports as well. We thank you for your comment. The Habs have a busy week ahead. They play at home Saturday night against the Detroit Red Wings. Then
this is a big game
yeah.
for first place in the Atlantic. As we mentioned earlier, Jacob Fowler starting and the return of Caden Gooley in that game.
That's right. Then the return of Monday Night Hockey for the Canadiens. This will be an Amazon Canada Prime hockey viewing at 7:30 on Monday night. Vancouver comes to Montreal to play the Canadiens. Then they go back to a Tuesday, Thursday on the road, Montreal visiting the Washington Capitals on Tuesday night and then heading to Buffalo on Thursday. So Detroit, Vancouver, Washington and Buffalo. It's a busy week for the Canadiens. Couple at home, couple on the road, a back to back in there. Phew. It's going to be a busy week for the Canadiens, and we will be busy following each and every move that they make throughout this week. You can bet when we come back next Saturday, January 17th, for our next episode of the Canadiens Connection podcast that we are going to have plenty to talk about. We hope you are going to be there. We expect you to be there, and we're very grateful that you were here today for this week's episode of the Canadiens Connection podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget to hit subscribe. Enjoy your week. And we'll see you next week for another excellent episode of the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadiens Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.